So Harry put on his invisibility cloak in the dormitory, went back downstairs, and together he and Hermione set off for Hogsmeade. Harry felt wonderfully free under the cloak. He watched other students walking past them as they entered the village, most of them sporting "Support Cedric Diggory" badges. But no horrible remarks came his way for a change, and nobody was quoting that stupid article. "People keep looking at me now," said Hermione grumpily, as they came out of Honeyduke's sweet shop later, eating large cream-filled chocolates. "They think I'm talking to myself." "Don't move your lips so much, then." "Come on, please, just take off your cloak for a bit. No one's going to bother you here."
"Oh, yeah," said Harry. "Look behind you."
Rita Skeeter and her photographer friend had just emerged from the Three Broomsticks pub. Talking in low voices, they passed right by Hermione without looking at her. Harry backed into the wall of Honeydukes to stop Rita Skeeter hitting him with her crocodile-skin handbag. When they were gone, Harry said, "She's staying in the village. I bet she's coming to watch the first task." As he said it, his stomach flooded with a wave of molten panic. He didn't mention this. He and Hermione hadn't discussed what was coming in the first task much. He had the feeling she didn't want to think about it.
"She's gone," said Hermione, looking right through Harry towards the end of the high street. "Why don't we go and have a butter beer in the Three Broomsticks? It's a bit cold, isn't it? You don't have to talk to Ron," she added irritably, correctly interpreting his silence.
The Three Broomsticks was packed, mainly with Hogwarts students enjoying their free afternoon, but also with a variety of magical people Harry rarely saw anywhere else. Harry supposed that as Hogsmeade was the only all-wizard village in Britain, it was a bit of a haven for creatures like hags, who were not as adept as wizards at disguising themselves. It was very hard to move through crowds in the invisibility cloak in case you accidentally trod on someone, which tended to lead to awkward questions. Harry edged slowly towards a spare table in the corner while Hermione went to buy drinks. On his way through the pub, Harry spotted Ron, who was sitting with Fred, George, and Lee Jordan. Resisting the urge to give Ron a good hard poke in the back of the head, he finally reached the table and sat down at it. Hermione joined him a moment later and slipped him a butter beer under his cloak.
"I looked such an idiot sitting here on my own," she muttered. "Lucky I'd brought something to do."
And she pulled out a notebook in which she had been keeping a record of SPEW members. Harry saw his and Ron's names at the top of the very short list. It seemed a very long time ago that they had sat making up those predictions together, and Hermione had turned up and appointed them secretary and treasurer.
"You know, maybe I should try and get some of the villagers involved in SPEW," Hermione said thoughtfully, looking around the pub.
"Yeah, right," said Harry.
He took a swig of butterbeer under his cloak.
"Hermione, when are you going to give up on this SPEW stuff? When house elves have decent wages and working conditions," she hissed back. "You know, I'm starting to think it's time for more direct action. I wonder how you get into the school kitchens."
"No idea. Ask Fred and George," said Harry.
Hermione lapsed into thoughtful silence, while Harry drank his butterbeer, watching the people in the pub. All of them looked cheerful and relaxed. Ernie Macmillan and Hannah Abbott were swapping chocolate frog cards at a nearby table, both of them sporting "Support Cedric Diggory" badges on their cloaks. Right over by the door he saw Cho and a large group of her Ravenclaw friends. She wasn't wearing a Cedric badge, though. This cheered Harry up very slightly. What wouldn't he have given to be one of these people, sitting around, laughing and talking, with nothing to worry about but homework? He imagined how it would have felt to be here if his name hadn't come out of the Goblet of Fire. He wouldn't be wearing the invisibility cloak, for one thing. Ron would be sitting with him. The three of them would probably be happily imagining what deadly dangerous task the school champions would be facing on Tuesday. He'd have been really looking forward to it, watching them do whatever it was, cheering on Cedric with everyone else, safe in a seat at the back of the stands. He wondered how the other champions were feeling.
Every time he had seen Cedric lately, he had been surrounded by admirers and looking nervous but excited. Harry glimpsed Fleur Delacour from time to time in the corridors. She looked exactly as she always did, haughty and unruffled, and Crumb just sat in the library, poring over books. Harry thought of Sirius, and the tight, tense knot in his chest seemed to ease slightly. He would be speaking to him in just over 12 hours, for tonight was the night they were meeting at the common room fire, assuming nothing went wrong, as everything else had done lately.
"Look, it's Hagrid," said Hermione.
The back of Hagrid's enormous, shaggy head—he had mercifully abandoned his bunches—emerged over the crowd. Harry wondered why he hadn't spotted him at once, as Hagrid was so large, but standing up carefully he saw that Hagrid had been leaning low, talking to Professor Moody. Hagrid had his usual enormous tankard in front of him, but Moody was drinking from his hip flask. Madame Rosmerta, the pretty landlady, didn't seem to think much of this. She was looking askance at Moody as she collected glasses from tables around them. Perhaps she thought it was an insult to her mulled mead, but Harry knew better. Moody had told them all, during their last Defence Against the Dark Arts lesson, that he preferred to prepare his own food and drink at all times, as it was so easy for dark wizards to poison an unattended cup. As Harry watched, he saw Hagrid and Moody get up to leave. He waved, then remembered that Hagrid couldn't see him. Moody, however, paused, his magical eye on the corner where Harry was standing. He tapped Hagrid in the small of the back, being unable to reach his shoulder, muttered something to him, and then the pair of them made their way back across the pub towards Harry and Hermione's table.
"All right, Hermione," said Hagrid loudly.
"Hello," said Hermione, smiling back.
Moody limped around the table and bent down. Harry thought he was reading the S.P.E.W. notebook, until he muttered, "Nice cloak, Potter." Harry stared at him in amazement. The large chunk missing from Moody's nose was particularly obvious at a few inches' distance. Moody grinned.
"Can your eye... can you..."
"Yeah, it can see through invisibility cloaks," Moody said quietly. "And it's come in useful at times, I can tell you."
Hagrid was beaming down at Harry, too. Harry knew Hagrid couldn't see him, but Moody had obviously told Hagrid he was there. Hagrid now bent down on the pretext of reading the S.P.E.W. notebook as well, and said in a whisper so low that only Harry could hear it,
"Harry, meet me tonight at midnight at my cabin. Wear that cloak."
Straightening up, Hagrid said loudly,
"Nice to see you, Hermione,"
winked, and departed. Moody followed him.
"Why does he want me to meet him at midnight?" Harry said, very surprised.
"Does he?" said Hermione, looking startled.
"I wonder what he's up to. I don't know whether you should go, Harry."
She looked nervously around and hissed,
"It might make you late for Sirius."
It was true that going down to Hagrid's at midnight would mean cutting his meeting with Sirius very fine indeed. Hermione suggested sending Hedwig down to Hagrid's to tell him he couldn't go, always assuming she would consent to take the note, of course. Harry, however, thought it better just to be quick at whatever Hagrid wanted him for. He was very curious to know what this might be. Hagrid had never asked Harry to visit him so late at night.